Blog Talk Radio.
You, there have been times that I have been troubled, and we're not just speaking about being physically free, mentally being free from those things that have plagued our minds. So whenever I say I'm free, that means I have the peace of God.
Amen.
That I am set free daily. And I pray my peace to maintain my peace, because a lot of times we get peace and then we lose that peace. And only by God that we can maintain our peace and be free.
Amen. Keep your peace. If you don't keep anything else, keep that.
Keep your peace. We lose
your peace.
Keep your peace.
Lose your mind, but don't lose your peace.
Let you lose your peace of mind. My husband's tired today. Yeah, he's trying to need a little rest, a little water, a little Gatorade.
I might can use a little bit.
Amen, amen. Welcome.
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 Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome again to the preacher.
And the pastor.
I'm Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
Today we have a topic that is worth talking about.
Amen. Trouble your troubles.
My God, have you ever just had troubles and you didn't even know how to, you allowed that trouble to consume you, to take you out, to get to the point where you wanted to take your life, that you couldn't go on. But we're going to talk to you there about how you trouble your troubles.
Amen. I can't wait to get into this topic, because every now and again I get some troubles and I want to know how to trouble my troubles.
I'm against that thing. You know, we war against it. We don't lay down. We stand up. We stand up even stronger when we trouble your troubles. Amen.
Amen. We'll get a chance to learn some very interesting things tonight. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. All right, y'all. Sit back and let's talk about troubling your troubles today. If you're just now tuning into the preaching the pastor show,
We're talking about trouble, your troubles, and this show is to help us to maintain our peace by first trusting God for everything. We will learn here today what it means to trouble your troubles. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if we all know that particular scripture is in Philippians 4 and 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here, Paul was content, but he could see life from God's point of view. He focused on what he was supposed to do, not what he felt he should have. Paul had his priorities straight, and he was grateful for everything God had given him. Paul had detached himself from the non-essential so that he could concentrate on the eternal. So often the desire for more and better possessions is really a longing to fill an empty place in our personal lives. So what are we drawn to when we feel empty inside, when we feel troubled, when we feel worried? So how can we find true contentment? The answer lies in our perspective, your priorities, and your source of power, understanding that God gives the power and the authority. So when we look at that scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, can we really do all things? The power we receive in union with Christ is sufficient to do his will and to face the challenges that arise from our commitment to doing that. He does not grant us a superhuman ability to accomplish anything we can imagine without regard to his interest. So as we contend for the faith, we will face troubles, pressure, and trials as they come, and ask Christ to strengthen us as we go through to come out victorious. So we're coming out victorious. How do you trouble your troubles? As we are talking about here today, troubling your troubles. Joshua 1 and 9 said, be strong and be courageous. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Knowing that no matter you, whatever you face, you know, going in with your trouble, dealing with your troubles, that God is with you. If you trust God and let God be your God and your real God, he will bring you out of those things. He will give you divine instructions and directions what to do, that you will be victorious, so that you don't succumb and be overwhelmed with the troubles of this world or whatever man is trying to trouble you with. A lot of us are troubled during this times with everything that's going on, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world today that are troubling a lot of people. So how do we trouble our troubles? Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, be strong and bold and have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes before you. Knowing when you trouble your troubles, when you go head on with your troubles, God goes before you. He is your shield about you to protect you in the time of need, in the time of war, in the time of trials and tribulation. He is your shield. He is your protector. He is your refuge. And so we just thank God for this opportunity to understand when we trouble our troubles. And we'll go back in the Bible and talk about situations where people had to go against and trouble their troubles. You know, not allow the trouble to trouble them, but to trouble their troubles. That was trying to take them out, take them under. That was trying to kill them. It was trying to destroy their family, destroy relationships, destroy their finances, destroy their businesses. Here today, we're dealing with a lot of troubles. So people are protesting about the death of our black people and black men that are perishing, that are dying at the hands of others that came out to cause trouble, to fight us. How do we do that? We trouble them. We protest in a safe way, knowing that God is with us, you know, and allowing God to lead us and direct us. Everybody can't be out there. We shouldn't run into a situation without going to God first. We shouldn't run out there, you know, head on against our troubles without God going before us, without seeking God's instruction and divine instruction and directions on what to do, so that we know we will be victorious in all that we do. But we don't allow our troubles to trouble us. We trouble them with the word of God. Amen. And so we thank God. And I have to be grateful, because I've been in situations where I was troubled, but I leaned on God, and I didn't lean on my own understanding. I had to lean not to my own understanding, because that would have taken me out. You know, a lot of people are dealing with depression, you know, because they allow their troubles to trouble them. They allow their troubles to consume them, you know, to take them out. So how do we trouble our troubles? I'm going to give you for instance. If someone does you evil, the Bible says we do good for evil. Just imagine if somebody did someone evil, but they turned around and did you good. That will trouble you. Because the thing is, you're trying to figure out, wait a minute, I know I did wrong to this person. I know what I did to them, but they're going to treat me with kind. And believe it or not, it will trouble the evil doer, because they're trying to figure out what's your plot and plan, because they know the evil that lies in them, the spirit that they operate in is a spirit of the evil spirit that's in them. So they're trying to figure out how that you can do good to me when I'm doing evil to you. They're expecting to be paid back with evil, but you're paying them back with good. So now they're troubled. Like, how is it that I've taken everything from you, but then you're going to try to give me something, and I've robbed you of everything, but you're going to bless me. You're going to help me when I try to hurt, when I did hurt you, not try to hurt you, but I did hurt you when I talked about you. But here you come to help me when even my own friend wouldn't help me, when even my own family would not help me. But here you come. I don't understand. I'm troubled now. I can't sleep at night because I'm an evil person, but I'm expecting you. I'm expecting evil for my evil. I'm not expecting good for my evil. Now I'm troubled. So now you troubled your enemy that set out for evil for you, that has done evil towards you. But that's how you trouble the enemy, that you don't give them what they are expecting. You give them what they're, you give them the unexpected. You give them the good of you because you're a Christ. So you give them that that Christ would give. You know, we turn the other cheek. You know, when you turn the other cheek, they're not expecting you to turn the other cheek. They came for war. They came to fight. So now we're troubled. Imagine hitting someone and they never hit you back. That is your fear right there, because you don't know what's next. The person that don't say a word, you're cussing somebody out. I mean, you're really going in. But all they can say to you is, God bless you. Now you're troubled. Then you can't sleep.
Yeah.
Then you got to figure out what they're doing, what they're planning, because then you trouble the camp of the enemy. Everybody's up trying to, you know, trying to see what's going to happen. Even with Jesus, when they was at the tomb, and Jesus told his disciples that, I'm going to return. I'm coming back. I'll be back. I'm going to be raised in 3 days. 3 days. So even they didn't really believe that Jesus was going to come back in 3 days, because they had prepared his burial. They had prepared the things to anoint his body, to embalm his body. They had went back to the tomb. And the angel said, did y'all not remember that Jesus told him I was going to rise in 3 days? That he was going to rise in 3 days. He's not here. But what happened is the priests and the kings that were there, they were troubled because they remember hearing that, you know, one of them said, well, we did hear that they said that he was going to rise in 3 days. You should surely go put in camp, you know, the tomb with soldiers just in case. Just in case. So they were troubled, so that they sent, you know, soldiers out to protect, you know, the tombstone of Jesus, because they were troubled.
Yeah.
They were troubled, you know, by what he said. You know, maybe it's true, we don't know, but you now we're troubled, you know, just in case. So they worried the one that caused trouble, to bring trouble, to bring death. Now they're troubled by their own actions. So because guess what? Jesus troubled the troubler. Now you worried about, am I going to come back in 3 days? You know, now you're sending people to God, a dead body, from what is dead to be risen again and come out and live again. Now you're troubled by that you have killed, that you have already declared that is dead, but now you're troubled by death. Today we're talking about trouble and your troubles. What you got to say about, you know, this topic so far before I get into, you know, other parts of the Bible about troubling your troubles? We just thank God. We thank God. We thank God. And Pastor E will be here. We thank God. If you're just not tuning in to the preaching of Pastor Shaw, we're talking about troubling your troubles on today. We got to know how to come against that thing. We got to know how to fight that thing. You know, we got to make sure that we're hearing from God when we go in.
Yeah.
And when God say, be still, still. When God say, wait, you know, wait. Because even your waiting can trouble your trouble, can trouble that one that's coming against you. That can trouble your situation because you're waiting. They're expecting you to move. But instead of you moving, you're waiting. Instead of you speaking, you're silent. And then they're troubled by your silence. They're troubled by your waiting. They're troubled. Your troubles. We want to remind you all today, we have Bible studies on Wednesday, so we have a really great Bible study on tonight. We studied Psalm 37. If you get an opportunity, let that scripture, let that chapter speak to you, to minister to you. But we have Bible study every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. It's from 7 to about 7:40. We have prayer and Bible study. Just give the word and allow the Holy Spirit to move and take root in us. So I definitely want to overwhelm you all with too much of Bible study, but enough, and be able to come and be on the show, the preacher and the pastor. So make sure you all meet us there. The number is 978-990-5417. Access code is 434-1580-#. Again, that number is 434-1580 the number is 978-990-5417, and the access code is 434-1580 pound. Again, it's at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. We talk about trouble, your troubles. What is it that is troubling you today? What is it? Some people are dealing with things from their past that is still reoccurring day in and day out. Some people are still dealing with the court system. Some people are still dealing with health issues. Some people are still dealing with people, just things that are just that the enemy has sent to trouble you. How do you fight against that thing? How do you trouble your troubles? You trust God in it. You have peace in it. You trust God in it. You go to sleep at night. You get silent in it. You pray in it. You believe God in it. How do you trouble your troubles? And we're going to go to the Bible. We're going to talk about Joshua. You know, a lot of times, you know, we have to actually use that. They use the wall of Jericho. They circle the wall of Jericho for 7 days. Just understand, sometimes you got to circle that thing. You got to circle that thing and decree and declare. You got to circle that thing. You got to ask God for directions. I'm going to take you all over to Joshua, and I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to kind of skip through the actual chapter, you all. And if I'm going too fast, let me know, Pastor, and I'll slow down a little bit as we talk about trouble, your troubles. I want to be able to kind of get it all in. And I have a song today I want you all to hear to minister to you all that are listening. Whether you're listening on my phone or you call into the blog radio site, we're going to play that song. It's a really, really great song. I think it will help someone today, trusting God and not fearing. I mean, there's so much stuff that's going on in this world. You know, we have to go trouble our troubles. People are protesting, and that's what you do. You trouble your troubles. You go towards that thing that is troubling you, that thing that's trying to take you out. You know, we trouble them and say, there has to be a change. You all got to do something. And when we come together collectively as a people, as believers, and we trouble that thing that's trying to trouble us, that thing that's trying to take us out, that thing that's trying to keep us back, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, you know, we just thank God that we received that right direction, so we go out and we trouble our troubles. Let us go ahead and hear the song now, and then we'll go into the story of the wall of Jericho encircling our troubles until it comes down, circling that thing, troubling that thing, you know, staying in front of it, staying around it. You know, not letting it get on top of us and crumble us, but getting on top of it, on top of that thing, and, you know, troubling it. You know, you got to do something. You got to move. You know, I'm not going anywhere until you do something. I'm going to trouble you. Since you're trying to trouble me, I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. Amen. So we're going to go to this song. And the name of the song today, and it just really ministered to me and my husband. I sent it to my husband. I was like, you got to hear this. It ministered to you. He's at work, and I said, call me back once you get through listening to it. It's definitely, I mean, if you don't speak in tongues and you get through hearing this song, I believe you'll be speaking in tongues. It has the anointing on it. It's trusting God, you know, trusting God in your troubles. Yeah. The Bible said there will be trials and tribulations. You know, there's no way around it. You live in this world, it's going to be time that you're going to go through something at some point in time. It's just this, and we know that. There's no way around it, to be honest. It's no way around it. You know, so we just thank God.
Who
just
is the author of this song?
His name is
Anthony Brown.
Anthony Brown, and it's a choir. Anthony Brown, and I can't think of the name of the choir, but it is Anthony Brown. Don't have the other people's name, but it's some of the choir. But yes, definitely Anthony Brown. Yeah, I don't have the name.
Can you find him
Anthony
on YouTube
Brown.
Or Google?
Yeah, he's on YouTube, Anthony Brown on YouTube, and the name of the song is Trusting You, Trusting You. So let us let you all hear. Tell me what you think about it. Amen.
You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship death. So I'm a leave it all right here. Help me say yeah.
You made me
fall. not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Trust in, oh, trust in you, Lord. I will put my
yes, amen,
and
amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the Most
High. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Amen. If you didn't know,
how
to trouble your troubles by listening, just listening to this song, that was ministering to me, and I know it ministered to some of you out there as well. You know, when
yes.
you are troubled, you got to know that you are troubled by the troubler.
Oh God!
And see, when the troubler
oh,
troubles
God.
You. It'll cause you to fear, and
Jesus,
it'll cause you to worry.
Jesus.
But see, this right here song is what he said is that God, that you didn't create me to worry, neither did you create me to fear, but you created me to worship, and I'm going to leave it all right here.
Yes.
Now, that's something that we all have to do there. Trouble your troubler. And when the trouble, when trouble comes, or when your adversary, when your enemy comes, and whatever it is that they try to cast upon you, see, God said, cast all your cares on me because
yes,
I'm the
did.
One that
yes,
cares for you. No, don't you worry about that. Don't you stress out about that.
Jesus.
You know, I already take care of that.
Yes,
and have
Lord.
My wife has said already, you do good with evil. I mean, you do evil for good, or you exchange it.
Jesus.
It's an exchange.
Yes.
You want to give me some evilness. You want to give me a bad word, but instead of you recruiting me over to giving you a bad word, see, I'm going to give you a good word.
Yes.
You're giving me bad fruit, and I'm going to give you good fruit. And you know you don't deserve it, I'm going to give it to you anyhow. That's the same way that we are. See, we're not deserving of anything, but God gives it to us anyhow because he loves us.
Yes.
And that's how you overcome. That's how you overcome your troubles with love. Loving God and just resting. And do like the psalmist said, you know, just to worship.
Jesus.
You created me to worship, and I'm going to worship you all the time. Like Psalms 34:1 said, how we give God your highest praise is through worship. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
If you're just now tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about trouble your troubles. And, Pastor, when you said that, we were talking about it earlier, you know, there's a transfer. You know, you give me, you do evil to me, but my transfer is going to be good. You know, I'm going to speak life into you. I'm going to speak greatness over you. I'm not going to speak upon you what you speak on me. A lot of times we want to allow the enemy, because he's trying to trouble us, to act the way that the enemy is trying to transform our minds. But the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
That's right.
Yes. Yes, and when you're transformed, you'll operate differently. You won't do evil for evil. You'll do evil for good. You know, we won't give you back. You know, if we think about God, if he gave us, if he paid us the way that we do, you know, the way that we act out in this world, I so thank God that he's not like man, you know, for all that we've done. You know, the Bible says that in the midst of our sin, he died for us. While we're sinning, he died for us. You know, so we thank God, you know, so when you get Christ in you, when your mind is renewed, you know, when your mind is renewed with the word of God, and you're no longer operating it, you can operate like that. You can trouble your troubles, you know, by doing good. You can trouble that person. You can trouble that situation by doing good, you know, protesting it, but knowing how to protest, knowing what to say. They're asking God to give you that wisdom.
That's
the Bible says in Romans, as we're talking about this, in Romans 12:19, we're going to go from verse 19 to 21, the Bible says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20 says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't know about you, but somebody has done you wrong, try to turn around and give you a drink. You know, you done them wrong, and you come over, they say, oh, have a drink. You looking inside the drink, say, hey, what's in it?
Yeah.
You know, oh, wait a minute. They're troubled because of their actions. Oh, have something to eat. Wait a minute. What you put poison in the food?
You know, so then they're in trouble.
Yeah.
They're hungry, but I can't eat because I know what I did to you. You know, I'm thirsty. I can't drink because I know what I did to you. But the Bible says here, you know, feed your enemy. You know, give drink to your enemy that's thirsty. So I'm going to break down the scripture just a little bit here for those that are not Bible scholars or don't, you know, hasn't followed the Bible, you know, in detail, understand what the Bible is saying. Even when we look here, the Bible says forgiveness involves. Yes, the Bible says, and you know, let's talk about what it means to heap coals of fire on someone's head. So this refers to back in the Egyptian tradition of tearing a pan of burning coals on one's head as a public act of repentance. So by referring to this proverb, Paul was saying that we should treat our enemies with kindness so that they will become ashamed and turn from their sins. So the best way to get rid of our enemies is to turn them into a friend. You know, you befriending that has come against you. You befriending that person, say, and then you find out all they needed was a friend. All they needed was the word, you know, to help them, you know, because their whole life has been trouble. That's been their whole, from the beginning, they was birthed to cause problems. They was birthed to be trouble. You know, they was labeled trouble, a trouble child. You know, that Ray was raised up to be a trouble adult. You know, so their whole life, they was cursed with the word of trouble, but all they needed was a friend and the word of God to turn them around to be better, because you troubled that situation with kindness. You know, you troubled that situation with peace, you know, when it's been a place that's been disturbed. But here you come to trouble it with the word of God, which is peace, which is power, which is the authority.
Yeah.
So when we look here, the Bible says here in the scripture, forgiveness involves both attitudes and actions. So if you find it difficult to feel forgiven towards someone who has hurt you, try responding with kind actions. It's appropriate. Tell this person that you would like to heal your relationship. Lend a helping hand. Send them a gift. Give them a gift. You know, they may be scared to open it, but send them a gift. Smile at him or her. Don't be solid. A lot of times we want to give people what they give us, but no, give a smile. You know, I have to decide. I told my husband, I have to decide. You know, we have a choice to be angry or to be happy. We have a choice to feel how we want to feel in every situation. So many times we discover that the right actions lead to right feelings. And all they need is someone. It's true.
Put a pin right there for a second, Pastor. Put a pin right there.
Go ahead.
I got to tell this story. So look, now my wife is reading this scripture, and then what she's doing is she tells me what she did to me. And I said something, or I did something. I can't remember when it was. And I knew I shouldn't have said it, and I knew I shouldn't have did it. But here it is. I come home, and she did and had dinner cooked for me. I'm talking about, she fixed it up good for me, too. I didn't know what to expect. You know, that was really troubling me. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You know, that person come to
Amen.
Your rescue, you know. Oh, my goodness. You done towed their car up. Then your car towed down on the side of the road, and they have to come and help you. You know, you done put them out of your place, and they come to a time where they need a place to stay, and you invite them
that
in.
That would really trouble you. That would really trouble you.
That would trouble you. That would trouble.
I'm expecting you to retaliate, and you don't retaliate.
And
you
at home free.
You
at home free.
No.
They weren't, you know, now they turned on them like, oh, wait a minute now. I wasn't ready for that. You at home free.
The word of
God
is true. Now we know what to do when trouble comes. The Bible says, you know, to count it all joy. Count it all joy.
My Lord.
Yes.
My Lord. Amen. And we just had tuning in to the preaching, the pastor show, and you came in and we were laughing. We're talking about trouble and your troubles. You know, when the enemy set out to do evil for us, we don't do evil for evil. And I always heard that coming up to say, don't do evil for evil. But I always saw the grown people around me doing evil for evil. They were constantly fighting and going in. I'm like, wait a minute. Where's the peace at? That don't apply to you. Come again.
Yeah, that was just for you. That's for you to learn. Don't do as I say. That's what he used to say.
Exactly.
Don't look at me. Do exactly. They were teaching you something. You didn't realize it. They were teaching you. They was doing the wrong thing, and you seen it. They were messing up. So now you know how to do the right thing when it's your turn. When you get the age. Amen.
Amen. That, you know, and that just brings me, you know, we're going to get to Joshua. That just brings me to the Proverbs 24 and 17. I'm definitely going to get to Joshua. It brings me, you know, because when we talk about that, because a lot of times we figure we have to, when we trouble our troubles, that we have to be fighting. You know, there has to be bloodshed. You know,
right.
There has to be, you know, but you truly trouble the enemy when you do the opposite of what they expect you to do, you know.
Right.
And then not just that, but having wisdom, you know, depending on what it is that is troubling you, how do you go about it? We ask God for wisdom, you know, for directions, you know, divine directions and instructions to know how to go about it, you know, so that we go about it the right way, you know, so that when
yeah.
they're trouble, when we come to bring trouble, it changes them, you know, it changes their mindset of how to do things. Now it draws them into Christ more, you know, because now they can see us operating, you know, not in our fleshly way, in a carnal way, but operating in the spirit. You know, we know operating in the flesh is death, but operating in the spirit is life. So we definitely want to give life to that person, and a different life, not the same life that they're living, but, you know, to be able to, for them to receive Christ. And when we receive Christ, they receive change. There's no one that receives Christ that does not receive change. And if they haven't received, if they receive Christ and there's no change, then you got to ask them, what are you receiving? I mean, what Christ did you receive? So the Bible says in Proverbs 24 and 17 and 18, it says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and is displeased him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So what is the Bible saying? So David, Solomon's father, refused to gloat over the death of his lifelong enemy, Saul. So on the other hand, the nation of Edom rejoiced over Israel's defeat and was punished by God for their attitudes. So to gloat over others' misfortune is to make yourselves the avenger and to put yourself in the place of God. So who alone is the real judge of all the earth? So we have to be careful, you know, that we don't do that. You know, that we're troubling we're troubling that thing that's troubling us with the peace of God and with God's divine direction and instruction. If God sends us in and He gives us divine direction instructions what to do and how to go about doing it, we should do exactly what God is saying, for the victory belongs to Jesus. You know, we decree and declare that we receive it. All we got to do is be still, do what God is telling us to do. If He's saying be still, if He says speak, if He say move, whatever it is that He's telling us, you know, there's victory in that. And so how do we trouble our troubles? If you're just now tuning in, we're talking about trouble, your troubles
yeah.
on the show today. What did you want to say, Pastor?
I was just agreeing with you right here. You saying, you know, how do we trouble our troubles. Anybody on the line that wanted to come in? Maybe somebody wanted to say something about troubling your trouble. I mean, this is really opening
yes.
up. This is opening my mind to think about some things, and I've been into some trouble. I'm talking about been into, not lately here, but I'm just talking about some years ago, and didn't know how to come out of these situations, and I knew it was God that brought me through, but now I'm knowing
wow.
how to come out of these situations much sooner. See, sometimes, you know, we'll be in a situation a long time, and it was never even for us to even be in that situation that long. It was for us to be in that situation just for a little while
mm-hmm.
to realize
mm-hmm.
what was going on, give it all over to God, and come out of that thing victorious. But we'll stay in that thing for a long time, not even knowing how to
True.
Come out, learn how to trouble your troubles. Amen.
Yes, amen. And we're in the book of Joshua, and as we get into Joshua in chapter 6, and I'm kind of going to go through, and I'm going to just tell you the story of Joshua a little bit about the destruction of Jericho. So now the Bible says in verse 1 that now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand, its kings and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city all you men of war, you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And verse 4 says, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. So Joshua followed God's instruction. If we drop down to verse 15 And I'm going to just give you all just a little bit of insight, a little bit about, you know, what I just read of this scripture, if I may, and I'm not going to stay too long on it. So the city of Jericho, it was built thousands of years before Joshua was born. As you know, he took over from Moses. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. Then he could see it, but he was not allowed to go in for his disobedience. So this city was one of the oldest cities in the world. So in some places, it had fortified walls up to 25 feet high. So we're talking about a very, you know, very high, tall walls in 20 feet thick. So not only was it 25 feet high, but it was 20 feet thick. So to give you an idea of this wall, so the soldiers standing guard on top, there were soldiers standing guard on top of the walls could see for miles. So Jericho was a symbol of military power and strength. So you can have an idea. So the Canaanites considered it invincible, you know, and because they were disobedient and they were a rebellious city, this is why God sent in Joshua for them to, you know, to give them the city of Jericho. So he would, you know, God would send people to trouble the troubles of the earth. He would send us to trouble that situation that's on earth. He's looking at it and say, okay, this is a rebellious nation. It's a rebellious city. These are rebellious people, and he would send. He will send his people to trouble that trouble, and he will give you that of the enemy that you didn't plant. You know, we talk about wells you didn't dig, houses you didn't build. He will send you in and give you that of the wicked. So here the Bible says in verse 15, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they arose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times, and the seventh time it happened when the priest blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messenger that we sent. Verse 18 said, and you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. And here goes, and the Bible says, and trouble it. Verse 19 said, but all the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Verse 20 says, and so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Remember, this wall is 20 feet high and 20 feet thick. So the Bible said the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up in the city, every man, straight before him, and they took the city. Verse 21 says, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, and the sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. Now, this is by God's divine directions and instructions that they did all that God commanded them to do. So here it has seemed strange to the Israelites that instead of going to battle, they were going to march around the city for a week. You know, think about it. You're talking about you wanted to overtake this powerful military, you know, city. This, you know, this is a lot of governors. You want us to go overtake today. This city of Jericho was a symbol of military power and strength. So you're telling us, Lord, you want us to go march around? So the Bible says you sent them to go march around the city for a week. But this was God's plan, and the Israelites had a guaranteed victory if they would follow it. So God is telling you, march around that troubling, whatever that thing in your life that's troubling you. You know, no, you ain't got to fight. You got to just take my divine directions and instructions. I need you to, for a whole week, I'm going to need you to do the same thing. For the whole week, I'm giving you divine direction and instructions. The whole week, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm going to need you to do this. Be consistent in what God is telling you to do to trouble your situation, your trouble, to bring you out that you're victorious. So who, you know, because when we follow God's direction, we receive victory. So as this is a strange plan, and it sounded strange, but it worked. So God's instruction may require us to do things that don't make sense at first. So even as we follow him, we may wonder how things can possibly work out. It don't look like this going to work. This don't make no sense. I don't know how. But when you trust God, you know that it will work. So likewise, the Israelites took one day at a time, and they followed step by step. So we may not see the logical of God's plan until after we have obeyed the plan of God. So when we look at verse 21 here, and the Bible said, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Well, here we go. Why did God demand that the Israelites destroy almost everything and everyone in Jericho. He was carrying out a severe judgment against the wickedness of the Canaanites. So the judgment here, or the ban, usually required that everything be destroyed because of their evil practices and intense idolatry. And the Canaanites were a stronghold of rebellion against God. So this threat to the right kind of living that God required had to be removed. So if not, it would affect all of Israel like a cancerous growth. And it did, and it would have. So, and it did in the sense story told in the book of Judges. So a few people and some items in Jericho were not destroyed, but this was a special case. So Rahab and her household were saved because she had the faith in God and because she kept the Israelite spies. And so the silver and the gold and the vessels and bronze and iron were kept, and not to enrich the people, but to beautify the tabernacle and its services. So God has a purpose, you all. When we listen to God and follow God, we can trouble our troubles. We can go head on and say, God told me to do this, and I'm going to do exactly what God is telling me to do, and know that it's going to all work out for my good. I'm going to trouble my troubles with what the word of God is saying, with the direction and instruction that God has given me to trouble my troubles, not in my own way, not my own merit, but I'm going to follow God's divine instruction and knowing that it's going to work. I'm not going to allow that thing to trouble me anymore. I'm going to circle that thing until it falls down, until it's a heap of dust. Is that the right word I'm saying? Heap? Yeah, that's it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you're just now tuning in to the preaching of Pastor Shaw, we're talking about trouble. Your troubles today. When we talk about this, and you, I don't know if you all remember the story about the Shunammite woman who baby had died, her child had died. We go to 2 Kings chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18. And I'm just going to give y'all just a little something about, you know, what happened here when she troubled her troubles. Her baby had passed away. You know, she was talking to the prophet Elisha at the time, and the Bible said, and so he said, when this is to be done for her, and Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the doorway, and then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. And then verse 17 said, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, and of which Elisha had told her. And verse 18 said, and the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And verse 19 says, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to the servant, carry him to his mother. Verse 20 said, when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee to noon, and then he died. Verse 21 said, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She shut the door upon him and went out. So listen to what's happening here. So she didn't have a child. The prophet said, you're going to have a child. She was thinking, no way. She conceived, had the child, grew up, it got sick, and it died. So now she's troubled. You know, she's troubled. She's lost her only child, her only son. She's troubled. So verse 22 says, then she calls her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So now she's going to face her trouble head on and say, you gave me this. You told me I was going to have a son. You told me this, and I need you. I need you to do something about my trouble. This is troubling me. My child is gone. So we look at the verse right here. She goes, I'm going to go down, says, let's go all the way down to verse 29. So the Bible says, then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, let me go up a little bit more. Let's go to actually verse 24. I'm sorry, y'all. Then he saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the peace from me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God in Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant, Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, it is well with you. It is well with your husband. It is well with your child. And she answered, it is well. Verse 27 says, now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she called him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away, but the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, did I not conceive, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he rose and followed her. So she was troubling her trouble. She was like, I'm not going to leave until you do something, until you move. It is you that said that God was giving me this child. It is you that I need to go to my child, and I'm going to trouble my trouble. So Elisha went. So verse 32 says, when Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and laid on the child, and he put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. See, when you trouble your troubles in that situation, when you go back and say, look, then you told me. You said God was going to do it. I need you to do something. I'm not going to leave until you do something. So here, something is being done. So verse 30 to 35 says he returned and walked back. Hallelujah. He said, the Bible said he returned and walked back. He walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. And then a child sneezed seven times and the child opened his eyes. And verse 36 said, and he called Gehazi and he said, call the Shemanite woman. So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, pick up your son. Verse 37 says, so she went in and fell on his spirit at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. I'm telling you, you can place your troubles on. You can trouble your trouble, whatever the situation is. God can bring you out. Trust God. But you got to go out and say, God, go before me, making a way, preparing a way for me, because I know that I'm coming out victorious. You don't have to fold. You don't have to crumble when the enemy comes in like a flood. Know that God will lift up a standard. You can trouble your troubles with the word of God. We always have to stand on Ephesians 6 and 12. Oh, Father God, we want to thank you for the full armor of God.
Yeah,
that when we're going through something to trouble our troubles, we can gird ourselves up. We can clothe ourselves, put on the full armor of God, and face that thing head on in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, God, we just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
As we see here in the scriptures, that was word in verse 32 and 36, Elisha's prayer and method of raising the dead boy show God's personal care for hurting people. We must express genuine concern for others as we carry God's message to them. Only then will we safely represent our Father in heaven. We ain't got to fight fire with fire. But if God say fight it with fire, we fight it with fire. But God is telling us, show people me in you. Trouble your troubles today. Trouble your troubles. Don't let your troubles trouble you. Amen. If you just can't tune into the preaching, the pastor's right. We're talking about trouble your troubles. What is troubling you? Pastor, this is the time we have our part of the show. We have preachers. So we're going to have Pastor Dorsey Manning this evening, this wonderful night, to, you know, give us a word that's on his heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a great topic for tonight. I really have been lifted, and I thank God for allowing me this opportunity to give a word. Trouble your troubles. So what's troubling you?
Yes.
Is it troubling you because you feel like that you are lonely and you don't have anybody to talk to? Is that troubling you? Or maybe you're even troubled because you're looking for your lover to show up. You're looking for your lover to come knocking at your door. Maybe when you're walking in the grocery store, you're looking for that husband, or you're looking for that life, that wife. Is that troubling you?
My Lord.
Or maybe you even got tired of that dead-end job or that dead-end relationship that you've been in for this long time. Maybe that's troubling you.
My Lord.
Or maybe even when you lay down at night, you know, your body gets a hurting and everything gets a aching, and even your mind or your brain start to be confused. Maybe that's causing you trouble.
Maybe
have gotten a bad report from the hospital or from your doctor or your pharmacist. They have maybe given you a bad report and said that you have to take this type of treatment, or you have to do this, or you have to do that, because if you don't do this, maybe you're only going to be here about another 2 or 3 months. Maybe you have a bad report.
Jesus.
Stop right there. See, all these are troubles. All these are the things that come from the troubler, which comes from Satan and comes from his messenger and his agent that have been placed here to put you in that place where you are worrying, put you in that place where you're all stressed out, put you in this place where you're trying to figure out what to do. But I'm here to tell you, while you're trying to figure out what to do, God has already worked it out for you.
Amen.
He done already worked it out for you. He done already gave you his son. He done already gave Jesus Christ that done already came into this world.
Thank you, Lord.
Went through the same things that are going through right now in this world and overcame all the pain, all the death, all destruction. He raised Lazarus from the dead. We're talking about Jesus Christ. This is the same one that's going to raise you from the dead. This is the
same
God that's going to bring you out of this situation. Now, when we're talking about Jesus, now Satan comes to bring you trouble. Now, the Bible tells you that you will face trials and tribulations is because that you are in Christ. And because that you are in Christ, you know, don't let that trouble you. Don't let that worry you. But he says, you know, count it all joy. You know, have peace. He said a peace that the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
It's true.
See, how you trouble your troubles, and here it is, you know, that now we're so deep into the Word of God, but that's how you trouble your troubles. You trouble your troubles with the Word of God. See, now when the troubler comes up and he try to tell you this and try to get inside your mind and cause you to feel a certain type of way, we talking about trying to work on your emotions. You say what thus said the Lord.
Yes,
you quote
Lord.
Scriptures. So you got to have these scriptures on the inside of you. Because, see, when you have the scriptures on the inside of you, so you might not be trouble right now, but trouble is on the way.
Jesus.
But, see, trouble ain't going to last always. Trouble ain't going to last always because, you know, I have the Word of God. And not only do I have the Word of God, I have the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me. And
yes,
because I have
Lord.
The Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me, I have perfect wisdom and knowledge in every single circumstance and every single situation that I know. I know what to do when I don't know what to do. So that's how you trouble your troubles.
Amen.
You got to trouble your troubles with the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, over in Ephesians 6 and 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God daily that you be able to stand.
Yes.
Because that's what we need to do. We need to stand. Stand right there. Because
right there.
When you're right there
in
that place,
Lord.
And you're using,
Jesus.
You're putting on your armor. We're talking about, you know, every day you're putting your eyes on the Word of God.
Yes,
you're reading
Lord.
The Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God, and you're acting, and you're being a doer of the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
And then hearing the Word of God shows up, and not only when God shows up, he shows out. We thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank God that we have all power, and we have all authority over Satan. And the reason why we have power and authority over Satan, because he promised us to us over here in Genesis 1 and 26.
Yes,
he said,
Lord.
I give you dominion over the whole world. I made you in the image of the likeness of us. We're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So because you have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you trouble your trouble.
Amen.
You ask God to get Satan out, but God said, I've already given you power and authority over him. He can do nothing to you because you have the wisdom of God. You have the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you.
Jesus.
We thank God that we're able to trouble
thank you, Lord.
Trouble.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're just now tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about trouble, your troubles. If you're just now tuning in, you missed a great portion of the show. We thank God for the Holy Spirit moving so we understand how we trouble
thank
our troubles.
Lord.
There are certain lot of situations in the Bible where people are troubled, but they trusted God, and God gave them the right directions on what to do. Even when we think about the story of Esther and her uncle Mordecai that was faced with Haman, and when Haman was trying to destroy the Jews, and Esther had to go before the king and risking her life, but they fast and they prayed and they trusted God, and that would have should have taken her out. He killed all the Jews at the time. She trusted God that God would be with her and lead her, but she went to God first before she went straight to the king. She went to God and prayed about it, and what the enemy had set out for evil, God turned it around for the good. So now
thank
that was the one that was trying to cause terror and trouble on the Jews, it was turned around. So now that with Haman had built for Mordecai to be hung on, he found himself being hung, and his whole family came to death because of his actions. Then he was trying to trouble the Jews, but all that was turned around. I'm here to tell you today that you can trouble your troubles. You don't have to allow it to overtake you or overcome you. You don't have to allow it to cause you to be depressed and sprung out. You don't have to allow that. You can trust God. You have the choice. You can trouble your troubles with the Word of God. You have to understand that you have to act. You got to act in a way that is kind, that is Christ-like. We don't do evil for evil. I mean, because evil expect evil. Evil don't expect good.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes even good don't expect good. And when a good person do something, they expect sometimes, you know, they're weary and people doing right by them. So we do what is good. And we ask God before we do anything, trusting in God's direction. It may not sometimes make any sense, but we got to stand. If we trust God, we got to trust. If he say go this way, we may be afraid to, or it don't make no sense, but we're going to trust God and go. Trouble your troubles. After today, whatever that was troubling you, we pray in the name
name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that it will no longer trouble you, that
in
you will trouble it in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Isaiah 35, 3 through 4, it says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. I speak that into your life on tonight. All in whom that are listening, whether you called in or whether you logged on to the blog site on today, I speak this scripture to your life. You be strong and be of good courage. Do not be fearful. Be strong and do not fear.
Yeah.
Whatever the enemy is trying to trouble you with, speak the word of God. Call it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand on what God is saying in your life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you. For the Bible says in Proverbs 12 and 25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Speak a good word into that bad situation that is troubling you. Speak a good word. Speak a solid word of God into your situation and watch how I turn it around. Watch you receive the peace that surpasses all understanding. Watch you receive the joy, unspeakable joy. Watch you sleep at night and rest while the enemy is up trying to find not what you're plotting when you are resting in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Trouble your troubles.
I don't care what
the enemy says. Speak to the enemy. You don't have to fear that it's in front of you. You don't have to fear that it's behind you. Keep your mind stayed on God. Trouble your troubles. Hallelujah. I'm about to get shouting up here and my words
thank
coming out
Lord.
Together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God. If you're just now tuning in, we're talking about trouble, your troubles. This is the time of the show that we have food for thought. Pastor Dorsey Manning, food for thought.
Amen. Amen. This was such a great topic to be able to get in and be able to hear the word of God and be able to know what to do. And I believe that's the food for thought for tonight is trouble,
amen.
Your trouble. It does not matter whatever situation that you're in. It don't matter what it looks like. There ain't nothing that you are in or that you're going through that God has not already made a way for. Give
Amen.
It all over. The Bible says over here in Luke. This was Jesus. Jesus said over here in Luke that he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So now, that what you are carrying on your shoulder, you carrying the weight of the world. You carrying all this weight, but you shouldn't be carrying it. You should cast that all on God and let him take care of it for you.
Amen.
Amen. Trouble your troubles.
Amen. Amen. If you're just in tuning into the Preaching Pastor Show, we wrap up the last 90 seconds of the show, and I have one last scripture, which is in Luke 18, and this is where the persistent widow, the Bible says, and he spoke a parable to them that the man always ought to pray and not lose heart. This is, again, Luke chapter 18. The Bible says, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Verse 3 says, now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, at least by her continual coming she wearied me. So trouble your troubles. This man didn't even believe God. He didn't even have reference to man, but because she was consistent, so she troubled that thing, and she got to the point where he became troubled and worried. So again, trouble your troubles. We thank God for this show. We thank God for you. Remember, we're here every Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Bible study is on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We thank God for you. We love you. God bless you. May God keep you and strengthen you and prosper you in every area of your life and protect you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank God for you. And we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You all be blessed. Have a good night. We're back on the show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Thank you for tuning in to the Preaching of Pastor. We love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it. All right. Love you, babe. Have a good night.
Yes, I love you. Good night.
Come on, put your hands.